Hello, welcome to episode 3 of the Get Organized for Life podcast series, where we talk about organization, time management, and workplace productivity, all served up in small bites because we know you're busy. I'm your host, Pat DePalma, productivity and organization specialist and owner of Organized for Life in Wilmington, Delaware. So today we're going to talk about making life changes with our special guest, life coach Tammy Newell of Get Life Coaching.
Hi.
Hi, Tammy. So sometimes, you know, we want to make changes in our lives, whether they're big changes or small changes, but we find ourselves unable to move forward. So Tammy's going to share some insights into what could be keeping us from changing and what we can do to get unstuck. So Tammy, welcome. Thank you so much for making the time to be here today.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So I know that your first career is as a nurse practitioner,
correct,
working with patients with kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get into coaching?
Well, I actually got a little stuck myself and had some habits that I needed to break. And through coaching, I realized that, well, finally one day I just said to myself, you know what, I can't live like this anymore. I need to do something different. I need to move forward in my life. So what I ended up doing was I started to coach with Joe White at Get Life Coaching. And I found that I was, you know, very stuck. And I didn't realize that I could change until I started to coaching. And then, you know, and then I realized that I could. So
then that made you want to do the same for other people?
It did. Because, you know, what I found is that through all these years of working with patients, one of the things I found is that if they realized that they could have changed their lives a little bit earlier, that they could have maybe not treated themselves with food or alcohol or relationships that didn't serve them, you know, if they realized that they could make a change in their life, that they probably wouldn't actually have gone on to have disease. And it just kind of hit me about 6 to 9 months ago that was like, wait a minute, you know, it's the whole crux of, I think, a lot of our problems that we have with healthcare is things that we do to ourselves. Smoking, you know, drinking, eating too much, gambling. Those are all ways to make us feel better and to change our state. And if we had like healthier ways to do that or, you know, talk to ourselves in different ways, then maybe that wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't get the bad side effects of that down the line.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's,
thanks.
I think I would agree with that. Not that you care.
I do care, actually.
So I see a lot of similarities between, you know, coaching and therapy. So mm-hmm. So what's the difference? What kind of things that do you help people with? What kind of problems?
Okay. You know, we help people get from being stuck. You know, therapy is important. You know, it has its role. But oftentimes when you talk about it and talk about it and talk about it, it doesn't really get rid of it. It just cements it in, or you talk about it for so long that you go, okay, I got to get rid of this. And the difference with coaching is that we try to get to the very core patterns, because, you know, we believe that all behavior is a pattern. All patterns are learned, therefore they can be unlearned, and all patterns meet emotional needs. So, you know, if that's the case, then, you know, all of these behaviors that we have, we learned them someplace. And they used to, at some point, they might have served us, but they don't necessarily serve us now. So we try to help identify, and help the client identify where those problems are and get them to, you know, to shift it there, so that it happens more quickly, it's because it's about changing their mindset and realizing that they can change their mindset.
All right. So,
does that make sense?
Yeah. So when I meet people, right, I do a lot of networking, and when I meet people and when I tell them I'm a professional organizer, at least half of them say to me, oh, I need you. But very few of them actually call me. And if we think about, you know, how many people do we know that say they want to lose weight and be healthier, or they want to spend more time with their family and friends, or mm-hmm. take an exotic vacation, or whatever it is they want to do, but they don't seem to be able to take the actions needed to make it happen. So why do we do this? Why what keeps us stuck?
Well, there's many variables to that, but one of the main reasons is that people don't realize that they can change. And You know, they, you know, we get, when we get stuck in these patterns, they become comfortable. They become comfortable like old fuzzy slippers. And we don't like change. Humans inherently don't like to change. We like what we want. You know, we like what we have. We want what we want. And we don't really want to deviate from that. And sometimes that gets to the point where it no longer serves us. It no longer, you know, makes our life better. You know, it just makes our life comfortable. And, you know, so we, you know, we get stuck in these patterns, and, you know, they, you know, then we can't seem to move forward there. And then we tell ourselves these stories about why, oh, I can't lose weight because of this. You know, oh, I can't lose weight because I don't want to stop eating this food, or I can't lose weight because I don't have time to go to the gym. And in reality, if this was something that was important, like if you had a child and your child was really sick, what would you do to help that child? If you went to the doctor and the doctor said there's nothing we can do, what would you do?
I keep looking for something.
Exactly, right, because it becomes a must. And what ends up happening is we don't have these, you know, things don't become a must. There's not enough pain of where we're at to move us to where we want to go. You know, because to break an old habit, to break any kind of pattern, first you have to be aware that you have the pattern. You know, then, and it doesn't really matter where it came from, you just have to be aware that it's there. And then you have to have absolute willingness to change. And this is where it gets tricky because, you know, people will, you know, again, like I said earlier, you know, you have to have more pain of staying where you are and keeping that habit or keeping that pattern than moving forward. And people don't, you know, there may be pain in getting it. There may be pain in getting it and losing it. There may be pain in the things they have to give up. There may be pain in what other people will think about them. There may be pain that they have to change their life a little bit.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is we have to want it badly enough to do it. But so why do we sit there and talk about how we want to do it, but we don't want it badly enough? So what are some things, some ways that we can think about it differently or to help ourselves move forward? Maybe make the why be bigger or what kinds of things could you suggest?
Well, there's perception versus procedure. And perception is all about the mindset. It's the why. Why do you want it? Why do you want to lose weight? You know, why do you want to get more healthy? Why do you want a different job? You know, and you have to examine that to decide what it is, because the why that you need, you know, that's important. That's the thing that draws you to where it is that you want to go. And once you figure out the why, you know, the how is much easier, because you kind of go, oh, okay, this is where I want to go. And it's just going to naturally flow. This is how I'm going to get there. You know, some of the things that you can do is, you know, you have to, you can ask yourself, you know, why is it important for me to make this change now? You know, not in the future, but why is it important now? Because it has to become a must. For you to have absolute willingness to change, it has to become a must. You know, you got to kind of set your chair on fire, you know, so you will not slide back into those things that are comfortable, you know. And then, like, because the third thing is you have to have massive, consistent, persistent action. I mean, you have to do it all the time, even when it starts to get tough. Even when you're staring down this Krispy Kreme donut, you know, you have to say, you know what, me feeling better and what I want, you know, my health to be is stronger than that Krispy Kreme. You know, so change is, you know, you have to be aware of the pattern, you have to have absolute willingness to change, and you have to have massive, consistent, persistent action.
So what would you suggest to someone who says, you know, for example, in my world, right, I want to be more organized, and yet they don't do anything about it. So would it be trying to show them more what the value is? I mean, they have to recognize the value of it, right? The fact that it's going to reduce the stress in their life, it's going to save them money, it's going to save them time, all those sort of things. So I guess if those needs aren't big enough for them, maybe that's what you're saying is why, you know, people put it off. But the longer we put anything off, right, The worse it is, the harder it is.
The bigger
so,
it is.
So organizing right. weight, you know, it's a lot harder. And it takes a lot longer to lose 100 pounds than 50 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. So you've accumulated 20 years worth of stuff in your house. You know, if you'd done this when you had 10 years worth of stuff accumulated in your house, it would obviously take less time.
Right.
So I guess those are the kinds of things that people need to recognize mm-hmm. and just know that you're only making it harder because someday there'll be a reckoning, right, with right. many of these things
right.
that at some point you're going to have to deal with it.
So you could ask, you know, what I would do is ask yourself a couple questions. Number one, you know, because if you really wanted it, it would be done, right? If you really want something, it happens.
You find the time.
You find the money.
Right,
exactly. So part of my first question would be is, you know, if they're saying, oh, this is what I want to do, you know, why do you want to do that now? Why is it important for you to do that now? And then I would also ask them, what consequences has it cost you by keeping what you're doing, if you continue to go in this direction, or if you continue to gather all this stuff, you know, what consequences is it going to cost you? And then the third question, because everything has a consequence, you know, everything has a payoff. There's some payoff of why they're still sitting in 20 years worth of stuff.
it doesn't require effort.
Well, and there's a pain of letting it go.
Right,
I remember when my dad died and we had to sell his house, you know, he had it like jam-packed full of stuff and we had to go through it. And it was so hard because like, oh, this gives me memories. And it was so difficult to get rid of things that, you know, I actually had to get somebody to come in and help us so that we could get like a different perspective, you know, so that... You know, it wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't attach that emotion, because that's what it is. You attach emotion to things, and then it makes it, you know, harder to get rid of. So, you know, so that's, you know, so what would the cost be of staying where you are? And the other thing is, what consequences will it cost in the future if you continue to follow that pattern? So if you continue to keep going the way you're going, what's that going to cost you?
Right. So, for example, if you keep... your patterns, you keep, you know, over shopping or whatever is causing you to accumulate all these things, the day of reckoning may or may not come for you. You know, if you are one of the fortunate ones who don't have a health challenge or become in a situation where you say have to move to assisted living or something, if you're fortunate enough to stay in your home, mm-hmm. you know, and until you pass on, it's not your problem, but then, as you said, it becomes your heir's problem. So
right.
someone has to deal with it.
Right.
Yeah,
right. So again, it's about, you know, why are they there? Why, you know, what is it? What is all this stuff doing for them? You know, it's a behavior, right? And it's meeting some emotional need. You know, it's either meeting their need to control their situation. You know, certainty, because they're certain about all the stuff that they have around them. You know, it's variety because they have a lot of different things that they can surround themselves with. Significance because, you know, they feel important about all the stuff that they have around. And it's connection. You know, they're connecting with, you know, Aunt Alice's old pot, you know, or oh, that was my son's picture that was on the refrigerator when he was five, you know, kind of things like that. So, you know, it's all emotion and, you know, it's emotional needs. So it's meeting some kind of emotional need. So what they would, you know, need to do is really kind of look at and kind of pull apart, you know, what is it about this that makes them want to keep a hold of it?
Yeah, so those are the kinds of questions that a professional, you know, organizer asks when, mm-hmm. when they're helping you. You know, when people call us and for decluttering and for getting organized going forward, There's an element of coaching to what I do, mm-hmm. right? So I do skill transference, you know, try to teach them new skills to maintain the organization that we put in place, mm-hmm. and also coaching in a similar vein to ask those kinds of questions. Well, what does this, what value does this have for you? You know, why is it that you want to keep it? And that doesn't mean they have to get rid of it. You know, there's obviously things that are so meaningful or useful to us that we want to keep them. But I think having a I don't want to say a disinterested party, but someone with no
attachment
to these items to help ask you those questions is kind of a form of coaching. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying I'm a life coach in any.
No, no.
But in that area.
We all coach people all the time. A coaching tip for you would be, instead of asking them why, because why just gives you the story. It gives mm-hmm. you like, oh, yeah, you know, back in the 20s, my aunt so-and-so had this and blah, blah, blah. If you ask them, what is the value of this to you? That will give you the meat of why they're holding on to it, instead of why are you holding on to it, which is going to give you, you know, a 15-minute
story
about it, right?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Gets more to the heart of
right.
it faster
right.
than starting with the why and then having to continue to dig.
Because it's all language, you know, because if I ask you, you know, why do you do that, you're going to tell me. But if I asked you what is important about you doing that, you'll tell me what's important. You won't give me the why, which is going to be somebody's story.
Yes, I know. As a beneficiary of your coaching services, I have learned about, you know, that's just a story you're telling yourself,
right.
Pat, right? So
right. Exactly.
Yeah.
To justify why it is you're doing.
Justify why I'm not changing, right.
right? Right. So they have a story of why they're, you know, of why they're staying in, you know, in all this clutter, you know, because, you know, it means something to them.
All right. So is there anything else you'd like to share with us about, you know, habit change and getting to the bottom of, you know, why we're doing the things we're doing and why we're not changing?
The only thing I can think of is that, like I said, ask yourself those questions. Remember that first we have to be aware of the pattern. You know, it doesn't matter where it came from. You know, then we have to have the absolute willingness. And I see that, so that means that when you're faced with, so, you know, when you're faced with, like I said, the Krispy Kreme donut, if you're trying to lose weight, if you're faced with that and, you know, you have to be willing to say no, you know, that's not what I need, because the pain of me staying where I'm at, the pain of me, like, being with this clutter, the pain of me being, in this particular state of health has to be greater than the pain of me being healthy, me getting my getting my organization together.
So,
but then you have to be you have to be consistent with it.
So it's kind of like you need to increase your mindfulness about the decisions you're making. So in the donut, for example, I go to a lot of networking groups and a lot of meetings, and many of them have, you know, food, which mm-hmm. is generally carbohydrates, right?
Right?
Donuts or bagels or what have
right.
you. And so it's very easy, especially if you're in the habit of doing that because you're hungry, it's there, that's what I'm going to eat. So you have to take a step back, right, and stop and think, how badly do I want that, dude? Because that's going to, you know, negatively impact these goals that I've set for myself. So
right.
So it's a lot of mindfulness about the choices that you're making.
That's true. And like in that scenario, you know, you have to, let me just draw myself a note here. So in that scenario, you know, you would, if you know it's going to be there, you need to come up with a preemptive strategy, because you know you're going to go there, you know this is what's going to be there, and you have to make a decision, you know, you have to decide what you're going to do. So maybe eat before, or, you know, if they have fruit, you know, fruit would be better than a bagel,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, like they have like protein, like hard-boiled eggs, you know, so things like that. So, you know, you just have to, you have to come up with a preemptive plan so that you are a strategy, so that you know what to do when you get there. And, you know, the other piece to this is that, you know, we can make goals all day long, but, you know, how many people make goals on New Year's Eve?
Oh,
and,
absolutely.
And 92% of those goals are gone, you know, by the first 2 weeks. 92% of the people have already rescinded their goals. So you can make goals all day long. The difference is becoming the person that will follow through with those goals. That's, you know, that's where the that's where the magic is, the meat of the issue is.
Yeah, just as someone who goes to the gym every January, it's torture because
right.
all of a sudden all these new people
right.
show up
right.
and they're all gung-ho, and then within a month, sometimes two, everything's back to normal again and the overwhelming majority of them are gone.
Right.
So, you know, we see this all the time.
And what happens is it's because it's too hard.
It's hard work. You have to get
right,
up.
Exactly.
You have to go.
Right.
You have to sweat. You know.
Yep.
It's, yeah.
Yep. And that's the part, you know, that's not the absolute willingness.
So what I do, right, is to change my mindset instead of, ugh, I have to go to the gym, this is going to be work. It's like I turn it around in my head to say it feels really good to work out these toxins and to yes. move my body and to know that I'm making some headway towards my goals. So sometimes maybe a reframing of
yes.
how you look at what it is you need to do
right.
could be helpful as well.
Because there's always a gift in everything. Even mm-hmm. even if you're sitting in like a house that's like all this stuff, you know, what's the gift there? Oh, the gift is they get to like they can maybe can get they can access that memory before they let it, you know, before they move it on.
Which is all the more reason to do it sooner, because when you so let's say you all of a sudden need to move to assisted living and then you end up with a time crunch, a time frame. So in addition to coping with the fact that you need to leave your home that you've been in for 20 or 30 years, you don't have the time now to process those memories like you're saying.
Right.
So if you do it sooner, you allow yourself more time to work through that and to be able to keep the memory alive. Because really the memory isn't stored in the item. The memory, you know, is stored in your head.
That's a very good point. Right. Yeah, I like that. I'm going to steal that.
You can steal that. Wow, I told Tammy something. Woo! All right, well, I don't have, you know, any particular questions for you.
Okay.
Other than that, is there anything else that you wanted to share with us before we close today?
Just if you would like to get in touch with me, I'm at, you can contact me on Facebook at Tammy Newell Coach, or email is Tammy@GetLifeCoaching, or you can visit our website, which is GetLifeCoaching.com.
Okay, and a phone number? Because I was going to ask you for that information.
Oh, okay, thanks. My phone number is 302-832-3424.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tammy, for joining us today. It's been very enlightening and very enjoyable. It's always enjoyable to talk to you.
Oh, thanks.
So thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. So you have been listening to the Get Organized for Life podcast with productivity and organization specialist Pat DePalma, today with special guest Tammy Newell of Get Life Coaching. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next month when we'll be talking about everyone's new favorite topic, decluttering. Why it can be hard for us, and some tips and strategies for getting it done anyway. As always, if you have comments, questions, or topics you'd like us to talk about, please send them to podcast@organizedforlifedelaware.com, and we will do our best to address them on the air. And if you're ready and motivated to get more organized and productive, but you aren't making progress, it's too overwhelming or boring to do alone, you don't know what to do, or even just where to start, you can learn more about how I can help you by visiting organizedforlifedelaware.com or calling 844-ORG4LIFE. That's 844-674-4543. Thank you again for listening and have a productive day.